Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. One thing we can learn from the healing of a man born blind is that God's purpose is bigger than we can imagine. Through this miracle, Jesus brought spiritual sight to the spiritually blind and blindness to those who thought they could see. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is in a series on seven convincing miracles. Today we turn again to John chapter 9 to take with us a sober lesson that Jesus taught through a great miracle in a blind man's life.
But, Jesus said, I also came that the seeing might be made blind. People who say to themselves, I see. Luther said on one occasion that the unconverted, they are blind and sick, but think that they can see and that they're well. And so they don't notice their need. You've met people like that. You have relatives like that. You've told them about Jesus Christ, and Christ has changed your own life, and they see no need to be born again. They're good people. They pay their taxes. They voted in the last election. They haven't killed anybody. They've never robbed a bank. What are you talking to me like this for? Jesus said that people who think they see are blinded because of his coming. Listen carefully. Not everybody benefits because Jesus comes. Not everybody benefits by an encounter with Christ. There are some people who are then brought into judgment, and they are made blinder, if that's possible. They are confirmed in their blindness because they heard about Christ and did not see in meeting him their great need for him to be their Savior. As providence would have it, yesterday I flew from Albany, New York to Chicago, and the folks who took me to the airport, a young couple who hoped to be missionaries someday, the wife grew up in a family where her father was blind since the age of 20. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I said, tell me about his blindness so that I can bring it into the message that I'm going to preach tomorrow. Well, they told me many things about his blindness, how he accepted it. He was a Christian. He was an evangelist, in fact, and never complained. He just accepted it as part of God's plan. But the young man who was courting his daughter, namely the woman that was there in the van with us yesterday as we were driving, he told me how he had to get used to the fact that he was dating a young lady whose father was blind. For example, he said one of the things that seemed strange to him was he would come into a room that was perfectly dark, no lights turned on, and the father wouldn't know it. He'd be sitting over there in the corner reading Braille just as if the light was on, because to him it made no difference. He didn't know which way the switch was. Now you translate that spiritually. The Bible says that the wicked stumble, and they do not know what it is that they stumble over because they're walking in darkness. And Jesus said, if the light that is in you is dark, how great is that darkness? They don't even know that there's light. You see, you tell them and you say, you know, there's such a thing as light. You believe on Jesus. And they're off in the corner doing their thing, and they can't tell the difference between light and darkness. And they say, why are you trying to upset my apple cart? I'm a good person. And they do not know that they need the experience of the light of Christ, giving them the illumination and the understanding and the miracle of the new birth. You remember, Charles Wesley who talked about the fact that the miracle of salvation is so wonderful, and I know that we sang it recently. Listen to the words, though. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon filled with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. That's spiritual conversion that is more important than the physical healing. So there's a work of judgment. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, what about those who aren't healed? What about those who are born with disabilities and they never are healed? They may be taken to faith healers. They may be anointed with oil, and sometimes God, in response to the faith of elders, that's important in the passage. It says the prayer of faith given by elders will restore those if they have the prayer of faith. It never says, now make sure that the person who is sick, make sure that they have enough faith, and if they don't, condemn them for their unbelief. You say, well, why are you feeling so strongly about this? Because I have had personal friends in my life who believe that God abandoned them and who wept before God in disappointment and anger because they could not find the faith by which they were to be healed and blamed themselves, and some of them went to the grave that way. I think, for example, of a man in the church that I grew up in Canada. He was born blind. And he used to attend church. People would help him and so forth, and he had a seeing eye dog. And he was always there in church. And whenever in this somewhat smaller church than ours, we had the opportunity, you know, to say what song we wanted to have sung. And we still do that from time to time, particularly in the evening service. He would always stand up. He was always the first to stand up. And as little kids in those days, we used to nudge one another and say, I bet you we're going to be singing Face to Face with Christ my Savior, because that was his favorite. And then he would always say this. He'd say, I want to sing Face to Face with Christ my Savior, because he said, I have never seen a human being, having been born blind. And he said, the first human being I shall ever see is Jesus. And so we sang, Face to Face with Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. That man, bless him, has long since departed this earth, and his eyes are doing very well right now, and he has seen the Savior, the first person that he will ever see. He lived out, you see, against the backdrop of disability. He showed us that it's okay. It's okay, we're all disabled, it's just that we're disabled in different ways. And in the midst of our need, God's grace is there to remind us that there's something more even than physical sight, something more important, and that is spiritual sight. That man had more illumination and more sight than many people who can see 20/20. I think, for example, of Fanny Crosby. Fanny Crosby was not born blind. She was born perfectly okay, but when she was very young, early months, a doctor came along and said, do you see that rash that she has on her eyes? I'm going to put some salve on her eyelids so that the rash will go away. Well, the doctor put that salve on her eyelids, and it burned her eyes, and she was blind. Fanny Crosby, because this happened when she was very young, never saw a single person. Listen to what she wrote at the age of 9. Oh, what a happy soul I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't, to weep and sigh because I am blind? I cannot and I won't. Aren't you glad that she was 18th century and not 20th century? Or 19th century, not 20th century? 20th century, she'd have said, we're going to sue that doctor. We're going to take care of him. Where is he? We're going to hire some attorneys and we're going to get him. Why was it that years ago people understood that even these tragedies came from the hand of God? It's because, you see, their view of providence was large enough to include such events. Today, our God is not capable of being seen in the midst of something like that. And I'm not saying, of course, that there isn't a proper place at which doctors are responsible, and therefore, in certain situations, perhaps suing may or may not be right, depending on. But I'm simply saying that we live in a very litigious age, and everybody is out there. Why? Because we can't see providence in something like that. And she did. And she blessed the world because of her hymns. Listen to the words of this blind lady, blind because some stupid doctor put the wrong salve on her eyes. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Blind girl did that, not congenital blindness, but because of human error and foolishness. My dear friend, I want you to know today that Jesus said that this man was born blind so that the work of God might be displayed in his life, the work of physical healing. Not all blind people have that. The work of spiritual healing that's available to the blind and to the deaf and to people who are perfectly able to see and to walk and to hear. It's available, but also a work of judgment. Because what Jesus is saying in this passage is that just as this man needed me in order to see, because there were no other options, no doctors to transplant eyes, just like this man needs that kind of a miracle, in the very same way, if you want to see spiritually, you need the same miracle. And if not, you walk in darkness, and your darkness is thicker than the darkness of the man who is born blind. Christ is saying to us today that in all things, he is to be glorified. And so I ask you today, do you see? Notice what Christ, we should read the end of the chapter. Verse 40, some Pharisees who were with him and heard him say this asked, what are we blind to? And Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. You'd be crawling to me for forgiveness. But now that you claim you can see, you remain guilty. So I say to those of you today who've never received Christ as Savior, you think you're doing okay. Well, read the text. Your guilt remains. Your guilt remains. Let us pray. Father, we thank you today for this marvelous, marvelous story. Oh, Father, today we pray, grant us the same confidence. Help us to see the big picture. And may we, with hope and joy, serve you. And for those today, Father, who've never understood spiritual sight, grant them that today. Touch their spiritual eyes that they might see. Pray in Jesus' name. When Jesus cried up, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When he went through that separation from the Father, that break of fellowship, that was far greater suffering than the physical suffering could ever be. And Jesus experienced hell that you and I might be able to experience heaven. He went through darkness that you and I might be able to walk in light. And of course, he was condemned that it might be said, there is, therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. In the message today, I spoke about the man who was born blind and the healing that God gave him. If you trust Christ today, he will give you a new heart with new desires and new eyes to see. I commend him to you.
Today, Erwin Lutzer concluded the story of the man born blind, the seventh message in a series on the seven convincing miracles taken from the Gospel of John. Next time, we turn to the raising of Lazarus as we hear about Jesus, Lord of Death. This series can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask about seven convincing miracles when you write or call. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.